You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we will be talking about today's IPL match between Rajasthan Royals and the Chennai Super Kings. I'm Jack Hope. I'm with Rossleg, who's in the wrong spot, so I'm going to have to move everyone around, and this has completely blown my mind. Rossleg, the Rajasthan Royals super fan. Let's start with you. How sad are you about the outcome of this match?
We lost to the Grandad team. It's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Like, if we're going to lose to someone, like that today was one of those bits where you want to win that game. So,
unlike most other games where you don't really want to win.
Well, sometimes this is not the opportunity to win. That's the bit you have to accept. Today, it was against a bunch of old duffers and Rajasthan blew it big time.
And I'm with Max Rowe Brown, the Chennai Super Kings super fan. You must be pretty happy, Max.
I'm over the moon. You know, it was a must-win game in the wooden spoon-off. And absolutely destroyed the competition for last place. So looking forward to a heady seventh.
It was good. Before we get into the show, Ross, you are in charge of giving our listeners some messages.
Yep, we are now sponsored by Woodstock Cricket. So if you want any of their gear, head on over to their social media site and website, which is woodstockcricket.co.uk, and order some stuff there. We are trying to sort out a discount code for our members, so we will be sharing that shortly. You should also like and subscribe to all of our YouTube videos and join us on the channel, and follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
They are all things you should do. If you want to contribute to the show directly as well, there are two avenues to do that. You can do it via YouTube by clicking that little join link below, or you can do it at our Patreon, which is patreon.com/thecricketpod.
Hey, super chat, mate.
Yeah, and you can do super chat too, and you can earn yourself a hat. I'm wearing mine. Let's get on with the cricket then, Max. You are in charge of the summary, because Max summary sounds a little bit like a cheeseburger. So let's go.
I'm pretty hungry now you said that. Thanks. Yes, well, CSK versus Rajasthan Royals, as we have alluded to, a battle of teams who perhaps maybe were expected not to fare so well this year. So an important chance for both of them to get some points on the board. Batting first was the Chennai Super Kings, and their innings was a bit of a weird one to watch. It was almost like watching someone try to drive a car where all the gears had been mixed up. They started really slowly until Faf paddled some impetus into the power play, and Moeen meant went quite well with him. Then a couple of wickets fell and things started to grind to a halt until Ryudu got things going again. And then he got out and it ground to a halt again with Dhoni and Jadeja unable to score until Curran and in particular DJ Bravo adding the finishing blows to get CSK up to a pretty decent looking 188. In reply, the Royals got off to a decent start and Joss Butler looked like he was in the mood to put together the sort of heroic innings that Rajasthan probably needed to win the game, a la Samson and his almost against the Punjab Kings. But after smacking Jadeja around at will, Jadu got his revenge on Joss, and that precipitated a quite astonishing collapse where Moeen turned into Murali and Rajasthan turned into a sorry mess.
To be honest,
there was even some time for Jadeja to do a bit of showboating in the deep, and it was two on the bounce.
Yes. To be honest, Max, I don't think that if Shivam Dubey is your number four, that it's possible to have a collapse.
You're into the tail.
We'll get to whatever thought process generated that idea a little bit later on. But let's go back to the beginning of the match. Max, you talked about it, Faf du Plessis, scoop shots. Ross, some nice inventiveness from the South African opener.
So I think Faf's actually a pretty good player. I think we talked about it last year, and in the preview, Jack, you said you weren't totally convinced by him, but actually for this CSK side, I think he's a good opener for them. Gaikwad looks all at sea at the moment, and he's probably going to suffer a bit of a bit of an insult by being replaced by a 36-year-old past it player, but so be it. But Faf, though, I think it looks like he could well be in the mood. And Max, you must be happy with this kind of lineup. I mean, if there's the approach that everybody scores about 30 runs and Faf or Moeen score nearly 50, they'll do all right.
Yeah, it's almost the England method, isn't it? Everyone score about 30 really quickly, down to number nine.
We say really quickly. I mean, they can't all do that.
They can't all do that, no. Captains aside.
That's sort of what I've got written down. It was a great knock from Faf to kick things off. And I think it's pretty observable. In T20 cricket, if you don't have one guy who goes ballistic and scores 80 or 100 off 50 balls, then having four guys that do the same job is equally as effective. And that's what they had. They had four batters today who scored at over 150. Three of them basically at 200. I think Faf has scored at 198 or something like that. So we'll give him the over 200 on that. Yeah. And they're able to do that because basically every single player on their team can hit. And they're using their lineup in the most efficient manner. Besides one guy, yeah, and we probably should talk about him, shouldn't we? 18 off 17 in the late middle overs to early death. Not fantastic from Dhoni, Max.
No, and we should probably mention that also included what, two fours in two balls towards the end of that. So it was perilously close to looking a whole lot worse than 18 off 17. And it is starting to come a little bit of a concern, isn't it? He's obviously been pushing himself further and further down the order because he doesn't want to come in too early and get in the way of some of the other players in the lineup who are able to strike from the get-go, I guess. And it's almost like he's just there now as a captain and not much else, which, I mean, is fine because, you know, probably quite a good captain.
I think he is. I don't know, to be honest, whether you can really carry around a guy who isn't an amazing wicketkeeper anymore and is going to bat like that. Maybe you can, but you are putting a lot of pressure on everyone else. I mean, he used up 17 balls at one of the most crucial points in the innings to achieve probably negative 6 or 7 runs versus an equivalent batter.
I mean, Bravo basically bailed him out, didn't he?
Yeah, well, the whole team did. Anyway, you know, he's MS Dhoni, and people like him. So,
as a lifelong CSK fan, he is a heroic figure. And I mean, look, it's going to be probably the last. You reckon? Like with the mega auction coming up, probably it's, you know, likely to be a bit of a swan song, so it's just
We could at least try to hit a six, couldn't he? He could at least try.
I don't care. Yeah, it's the way he goes about it that is particularly perplexing. It's and the commentators sort of back him up. They're like, oh, this is what we see from great MS Dhoni innings. He just knocks the ball around, scores a strike rate of 80 for his first 10 balls. It's like he's only going to face 20 balls here if he uses 10 of them to get 8, which he didn't achieve. He scored 6. He's really putting a lot of pressure on everyone else. I really don't get it. I mean, he's playing in a way that makes me wonder whether he's actually picked up a cricket bat at all since the last IPO. And that's not really excusable. As someone looking at this from the outside with no vested interest in MS Dhoni, I am kind of like, why would anyone put up with that level of performance? Maybe, I don't know, maybe he has been practicing loads, but it's cricket isn't like, it isn't like football in that you actually do need to go and play a football match to practice it at a high level. He's MS Dhoni. He could get probably half the India team down for a net if he wanted it. It's possible for him to face some like match quality deliveries to keep himself in touch. I'm guessing he hasn't done it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Jack. And there's just that frustration around them because CSK have seemingly tried to find themselves, right, what can we do with this kind of bag of potatoes that we've got? And at the moment, he's just shifting himself down. And actually, he came in at the wrong time today. Like, Sam Curran is a better option than him in that position. And Sam Curran has proved it time and time again.
Yeah. I have to say, if I was going to sum up the CSK innings, though, and we sort of talked about this a little bit last night, I'm more impressed with them as a team than I thought I would be. I was pretty negative, I think, in all the previews and certainly after their first game. But today, I'd give that batting performance an 8 out of 10. Max, you can have final word on the CSK innings if you like.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm also pleasantly surprised by with CSK is that actually they're using their resources really well and they're clearly thinking about it, which is not something that we expected to see from them given how they've built their squad this year, how they didn't really play at the auction, did they? They didn't even try. But they obviously are comfortable with the players they've got and they know exactly how to use them, and they've clearly decided what roles each person is going to play. And they're executing them pretty well, with the exception of the aforementioned man. So, I think things are looking a little brighter for CSK than perhaps they were. But I still think when it comes up against some of the higher quality sides, it's going to be a real struggle.
Well, there is a bit for Rajasthan, Jack. So we talk about kind of CSK's innings, but when you look at what Samson was trying to do with the lineup, there's still a little bit of kind of inexperience there. And I think he needs to stop trying to steal an over when he's got one of the lesser bowlers in the side. He did it in the first game against Punjab Kings and Doob went for, 20 off of one over. Parag here didn't actually need to bowl him where he bowled. He went for 16 runs. They also bowled 14 extras, which is like when you've got no batting, like 14 is going to be Vora's top score in the whole tournament. Like, you can't afford to give those kind of runs away. So there's a lot of work to do for Rajasthan Royals, unfortunately.
I see we have some chat action. Should we do that quickly now, or do you want to do it at the end, Ross, as chat master?
Yeah, let's go to Praveen, because he's super chatted us in. Thanks, Praveen. Moeen and Curran does better with CSK than England. Is it proper utilisation of talent here? And then secondly, should fielders be considered for man of the match? Jadeja. Max, let's go to you. Let's do Jadeja first. Man of the match for you?
Because he changed the game, didn't he? Because not only with his catches, but with the ball as well. So I would say he's certainly in with a shout as much as anyone else. I think it's one of those weird games where actually quite a few players for CSK had a similar impact on the game. But I think in terms of turning points, I think unfortunately to fall into the very in your face sponsorship they have, the whatever sponsor it is, turning point player of the match thing,
I think it's Woodstock player of the match was
I think Jadeja has every right to make that claim.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's go to Jack for the next one. So Moeen and Curran, CSK do utilise them, obviously, in this side because they have to, right? Is it a case that England just have a better dearth of talent, or actually do England misuse them compared to CSK?
I think England has just got more players. I think we talked about this a lot during the IPL series, T20 series against the India-England one. And we thought Moeen should have played those matches. Yeah. I think we're seeing why he probably should have played those matches.
Yeah, CSK
now
have used Moeen Ali better than England because they've used him.
But you do have to remember as well that England's sort of top four or five are all killers. I mean, the obvious one that he could come in to replace is Stokes, and Stokes is like the biggest legend in English cricket. So it's quite hard to say for sure that he should be playing the same role. But I think, yeah, they, like Max, as you say, they should use him.
Fair enough. Well, I think that wraps up the CSK thing. Should we move on to my mighty Rajasthan's complete abject failure in their response?
Let's talk about their batting, because there's a few points in here I think we should touch on. I think we should touch on their batting. I think we should touch on MS Dhoni's captaincy, which, you know, was pretty good. And then we need to talk about some of the personnel. And actually, we're going to play a game of rate that dumb shot. So we've got a little bit to cover here. Batting wise, Ross, as the Rajasthan fan, they're crap.
it's not looking good, is it? I mean, Jos Buttler is one of England's best white ball batsmen, and there is a piece where he's not going to be able to hit runs every single game. And you saw it today, like, the weight of the innings was just on top of him. And him trying, like, there's a whole risk reward factor when you're batting in any kind of cricket, but especially in T20 cricket and the way in which Jos Buttler plays. And you saw kind of after the power play where it was trying to push on, he just didn't have that support around him. If they're going to bat in this way, like, Samson hit a huge score in the first innings, but he is a feast or famine kind of person. And that top five that they've got, it just doesn't seem very well balanced. They're trying to put Shivan Dubey into that role. I mean, promoting him to number four today, like, I'm not even sure what a Shivan Dubey actually is, because it's not a professional cricketer.
So I said on Twitter, I don't know if you saw this tweet, boys, I thought it was one of my good ones, that Shivan Dubey at number four is the biggest over-promotion since George W. Bush. Then I looked up his stats, and I'm going to have to apologise to George W. Bush, because this guy is fucking awful. He hasn't done anything ever to justify being in an IPL team, really, let alone batting in the top four. And I think you can kind of throw Manav Vora in that as well. Manav Vora is a guy, he's played 52 matches in the IPL. 52 matches in one of the biggest sports tournaments in the world. You'd think, you know, that guy's going to have some pedigree. But nobody knows who he is. I mean, like, he's the sort of person, he could turn up at a family event and there'd be people in the family tapping each other on the shoulder and asking, who's that guy? Why is he here? the pair of them. But I think, you know, overall, this is really, really what it's symptomatic of is that they have recruited badly 4 years ago at the last mega auction. And then they just doubled down on sort of subpar recruitment. Rajasthan Royals fans will probably say something along the lines of, oh, we've had some bad injuries this year and that's made the team bad. Which, you know, it's fair enough in the case of Jofra Archer. I think having Stokes out might improve their team. But there's no Indian batters injured. They are just this bad. And it's quite astonishing that they've managed to assemble this lineup. They've got Sanju Samson, who is brilliant. And then, you know, just utter dross, like just geezers, like from the street, basically. I can't get my head around it. I mean, it's like, you know, at a really low level of amateur cricket, at least in this country, if you pay your match fee, you get a go. That's sort of what's happening with Shivan Dubey, isn't it? Except they've had to pay him 500 grand for the privilege of watching that debacle.
He's laughing every day in his new Ferrari, isn't he? Sasta Radio in the live chat has got a theory that he just looks like an athlete, so then he's playing. He's going, oh, this guy looks like he can play cricket. So, I mean, he might have like kind of a six-pack, so let's give him a go, where it's all about his lack of ability here. I think it's going to be a real struggle for the rest of the tournament. David Miller is an inconsistent performer. That is just kind of what he is. He doesn't really offer much with the ball. They're not going to bowl him. So there is a question mark around, actually, should you be playing Liam Livingstone in this side to give you an extra option? Max, what would you think on that?
Absolutely. If you're going to bat him at five below Shivam Dubey, you might as well play Livingstone, because I don't understand that. I just cannot get my head around why you would bring David Miller in after Shivam Dubey. So if you're not going to actually play him as a top order batsman, then you might as well bring in Liam Livingstone, who also gives you the option to not randomly bowl Ryan Parag. As much as we all enjoy seeing it, what I don't enjoy seeing is the review every time he bowls one of his sidearm things to check whether it's underarms. Like, look, we've looked enough times now. Every time it's above horizontal, so let's just move on, shall we?
I think it's a confidence thing for David Miller as well. Imagine being David Miller and Dubey being sent in ahead of you. Like that confidence that does to already kind of a limited batsman in this, especially after his performance last year, where he got run out without facing a ball and didn't play again. Like, this guy's just come back. He's on top of the world in his best patch of form for the last couple of years, and Doob gets sent in ahead of him.
I mean, I think on Ryan Parag as well, that sidearm thing, it's after you've seen it once, it immediately loses its effect, doesn't it? It's like watching, it's like a man who can fart a dart out of his arse or something like that. It's the first time you see it, you're like,
not sure
oh,
that
wow.
technique's going to take a wicket, Jack, if I'm perfectly honest.
You're like, wow, that's unexpected. The seventh time, it's completely lost its effect. It's not funny. And actually, you just want that man to go away. And I think we're at that point with Ryan Parag and the sidearm. Why can we not have Liam Livingstone, who's a better batter than David Miller and a better bowler than Ryan Parag in there?
He can literally bowl leg spin and off spin as well. It's not like he could only bowl one rubbish delivery. Well,
and they've dropped Shreyas Gopal. So I don't even think they played with a leg spinner today, did they? Anyway.
Well, spinners don't get wickets at the Wankhede, do they?
Yeah. Well, they're an absolute farce of a cricketing team. Yeah. Let's talk about some things that CSK did well, though. And people talk about captaincy a lot, and people were talking a lot about Owen Morgan's captaincy yesterday and about how that was bad, apparently. And I think mainly it's total nonsense. But today I thought MS Dhoni actually got a lot of stuff pretty right. I think the whole way through the innings, it was pretty clear, apart from when Butler was hitting Deepak Chahar around the ground, that was a bit odd. I thought it was pretty clear how CSK were trying to get wickets and also how they were trying to prevent runs. Would you agree with that, Max?
Yeah, absolutely. Even despite DJ Bravo's attempt at bowling the longest over in the history of the IPL, every ball was that attempted wide Yorker. You could see what he was trying to do there. Moeen Ali, he deliberately held him back until the left-handers were in. And that worked an absolute treat, as we saw. I think everything that they tried in that respect went well. So certainly lots of plaudits, I think, to Dhoni there, and also utilizing your fielder. I say fielder because it just seems
game.
Like it. He's a magnet to the ball, isn't he? That's what you'd say. Like, Jadeja is a magnet to the ball, but actually, Dhoni is putting him where he knows the ball is going to go. Like, he's making him run the width of the field all the time. But it's so important to have him do that. And you know, if the ball goes in the air to Jadeja, you just walk off, don't you?
Yes, you do. Yeah. Even when he pretends to drop it for six.
I really enjoyed that. Enjoyed that.
I thought there's some good examples as well in there. And people go on about matchups, and sometimes that's a bit boring. But I think we saw some good examples of how it can elevate a player from like average to good or excellent in some cases. So we saw a lot of Moeen Ali bowling to left-handers. Mm-hmm. We saw CSK bowl spin to Chris Morris instead of pace. And we discussed why that was a good thing to do a couple of shows ago. We saw when Tuatia came in and the game was maybe still winnable, they fed him a diet of spin as well. And we know from history that he is a lot better against pace and spin. And all of those things, they sound pretty obvious, but it is quite remarkable how often the captain has a little meltdown and
doesn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So shall we go on to our big game of rate that dumb shot?
Yes, please.
Right. Let's start with, we're just going to do this sequentially. So Manan Vora, he was opening the batting. He hit a six. Dhoni moved a fielder exactly to where he hit a six. He moved Jadeja, actually, not a fielder. He moved Jadeja, the one guy you don't want to hit the ball to. Next ball, he hits the ball straight to Jadeja. Out of 10, how dumb was that shot, Ross?
I'm going to go for a 3. I like the confidence. Oh. I like the confidence, which thinks that I can clear Jadeja. But he actually forgot that Jadeja is about 20 foot tall. And so there is a bit where it's about his ability.
3 is quite low.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't specify the scale. So I say, so a 7 is the equivalent, I would say. So, right. Yeah. So 7 out of 10.
Max, rate that dumb shot.
Yeah, I think a solid 8 out of 10 for me. Just yeah. Because I mean, you've seen it happen. You've seen the fielder go there.
Yeah, I think that's always embarrassing, isn't it?
You've got to have big boy energy. That's what you've got to have. You can't be an IPL opening batsman and be a shrinking violet. You've got to be. I'm going to hit it over that bloke.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the other thing is, if you're Joss Butler, I might give you a 6 out of 10 for stupidity because you know he can do that. For Manan Vora, I'm going to up that.
But feel free to play along with this, by the way, in the chat. Break that dumb shot. Sanju Samson, he's the next on the list. He tried to hit a rib high ball from a fast bowler over mid on, also caught. Rate that dumb shot, Ross.
Because it's a I'm going to give it a 9, actually. It frustrates me. Samson frustrates me because he is clearly super talented. Like, he's demonstrated it already. He did it in the last IPL as well, where he gets a good innings first up and then rides that wave and then might contribute a 40 in 3 games' time. So, yeah, I'm pissed off with him. 9 out of 10.
And Max, rate that dumb shot.
I think that's a little harsh. I'm going to drop it down to a 6 because I think early in the innings, you know, variations from Sam Curran. And Sam Curran does make things happen, so it is tricky as a batsman.
We're going to move on to a couple of the lower order hitters. Riyan Parag, he took on the long boundary, also caught by Jadeja. Rate that dumb shot, Ross.
6 out of 10. You can't blame Parag. He's just not that good.
Max?
Yeah, I would agree with Ross on that one.
And Chris Morris does exactly the same thing. The next ball also hits the ball to Jadeja. He's out for a golden duck. Rate that dumb shot, Ross.
I'm going to go 10 out of 10. That's the dumbest shot of the day for me.
Max?
It's a 9 for me because I'm sure he can do worse.
Okay, fair enough. We should mention on the subject of dumbness, and then we'll move on to some questions. Gautam finally made it onto the pitch. Well, they spend like 7 crore on him. He wasn't playing. He came on as a substitute fielder. First thing he did was catch it. Second thing he did was step over the rope for 6 runs. It was great stuff. I mean, I think, you know, to sum that game up, that's kind of what I expected from the Royals. We've seen Sanju Samson save their blushes in the first match. We saw Chris Morris pull one out of the fire in the second match. That's much more Rajasthan Royals. That I was expecting a lot more games, and I expect a lot more games to go like that for them this season.
I actually found it quite comforting. I was a little concerned after the you know, the Samson nearly heroics and the Chris Morris heroics that we were going to be watching something very unexpected. But I sort of feel much calmer now that sort of normality has returned.
I have to say, you've heard of is it the Danish phrase, hygge, the kind of coziness? It basically means coziness, yeah. I had that feeling watching this. Sometimes when you watch a blowout, you're like, oh, this is going to go on for 4 hours and it's boring. But it was quite compelling watching a team struggle so badly. Ross, you get final word on Rajasthan Royals as the super fan in the room.
It was just disappointing today, isn't it? But that's what you do. I'm a Spurs fan as well. It was probably a worse day for Spurs, or maybe a better day. I don't know. So all round, but my sporting life today hasn't been very good. Let's go to some questions, shall we?
Cool.
Let's go to the live chat or go to Twitter first?
Let's do what we've got on the live chat, and if anyone else has got any questions, they can type them in and we'll go back over to Twitter and then we'll finish on the live chat.
Okay, that sounds good. So Stannis super chatted us. Which team is worse, Rajasthan Royals or Punjab Kings? There you go, Jack.
Rajasthan are the worst team. Punjab are all right. I think they're still trying to figure out how to put it all together, but they've actually, in two of their games, they've scored enough runs to win. I mean, they beat Rajasthan. They must be better. Everyone knows that's how it works.
Yeah. Oh, Hank Hugh goes straight in. Have you forgotten Sunrise's Hyderabad from that equation? quite possibly. Is it Punjab? Punjab. But anyway, I'm going to stop embarrassing myself. Jaiswal's not opened the batting. And Pranay mentioned, say, why not have him up the top of the order, Max? Under 19, kind of what was he the leading run scorer in the Under 19 World Cup? Where is he?
Why not have him at the top of the order? Because you've made the wrong decision. That's why you wouldn't have him at the top of the order, I think. I 100% would be putting him in the next game to open with Joss Butler.
Well, it's weird, right? Because we said this in the preview show, that Rajasthan Royals kind of treat the IPL as a development academy. And so there's a bit where, what are you developing them for? And surely there is a bit where you just say, if you've got a rough diamond, you've got someone with lots of potential, you will play them in the game.
It's like when Ajax joined the Super League. What's the point of that going to be?
I don't know about that one as well. He did play a couple of games last year. Didn't really do much, but I sort of agree with you. It's not like he could be any worse.
Yeah. What have you got to lose at this point? It's only upside.
we've got two absolute nobodies in the top four. I mean, at least he might develop into something.
I'm not even joking. Kumar Sangakkara should put his bloody pads on and get out there. That's what should really happen. He could definitely do a better job than what's going on at the moment. So I think most of the stuff we have covered for today, it was out of all the IPL games that there's been, it was a pretty dross game. I thought CSK pummeled Rajasthan Royals, and even then they weren't actually that impressive with the bat, but they still hit 180 odd. So fair play to them.
We have a couple. We'll do a couple from Twitter then. So we've had one from Drip, and he asked, Ross, you can answer this. Is Sanju Samson overrated? He makes a massive score at the beginning of every IPL season and then is nowhere to be seen.
I'm not sure if he's overrated. I think no one's sitting there going, Sanju Samson is an incredible player. He's clearly got the talent, but he also has the reputation of being inconsistent. So I think that it's probably a fair reputation. I'm not convinced that he should be Rajasthan Royals captain, but actually I quite like his approach in terms of what he says to the media and kind of his outlook. So I think he came out in the media yesterday and said in the future in T20 cricket, people will be turning down singles because of the matchups that are going to be in play. Like he thinks that through that kind of lens, and if Dan Weston was on the show, he would be going, come on, Samson. So you've got to back that. It's a great attitude.
Is he not just saying that to cover himself after the Punjab game?
He might be. We don't know. We're not in his head, are we? And one for you, Max Rickon. Are you confused about Chennai Super Kings and if they are for real? Because he is. They've got a decent bowling attack and a long batting order. They don't always look pretty in their wins, but they do win. Max, CSK, are they going to make the playoffs?
Well... as a CSK fan, I will definitely say that they will make the playoffs. I think the thing with CSK is that actually what everybody perceived to be the case, which was that they would struggle in their early games because they were in Mumbai. You know, they've won two out of three, as Jack prophetically let slip yesterday with his misspeak. Mm. So the odds of them making it have dramatically increased now, I think, given that supposedly the later games will be more to their liking in terms of the pitch and the conditions. And they do have some good players. And I think one of the things about them is that Moeen Ali is turning out to be quite a key player for them. We didn't sort of know whether that signing, how important that signing would be. And he's taking on a massive role for them in coming at number three and bowling some good overs. So, I mean, if he carries on playing like that and Jadeja is everywhere in the field and catches everything that goes in the air, there's no reason they can't make the playoffs. But I do still have concerns about how they will face up against other opposition, because the games so far haven't been the most testing.
Right, Ross, anything left in El Chataruni, or yep, are we done?
Rohit has got in contact with us, and Punjab Kings I'm going to continue to say it that way, is bad because King legend Rahul, don't you think he should be thrown out and replaced by David Milan? No, like, we would lose content for this cricket show and I wouldn't be able to have a go at King legend. So I want him to bat. I want him to play for every team. That's what I really want. And KL Rahul probably thinks the same because he is a he's the most selfish man in India. So there we go, Rohit.
All right, lads, I think that's a good show. I think we'll wrap up there. We've done enough cricket content for the day. We're back on Wednesday. We're not around tomorrow, so we'll be doing two games on Wednesday.
Should we quickly predict who we think who's going to win? So we've got Delhi Capitals versus Mumbai Indians, and we've got the Punjab Kings versus Sunrisers Hyderabad.
Delhi Capitals versus Mumbai Indians. I think that could be again, Delhi look a bit better than I thought they would be. I think this would be a big test for them, though. Based on what we've seen in Chennai, Mumbai appear to have struggled the most, but have battled four wins. So I'm gonna go Delhi.
Interesting, yeah, because this is the first time that Delhi are playing at Chennai. So it's kind of an interesting...
Have I just made up loads of stuff there?
No, you're right. So Mumbai have played really well at Chennai, yeah, but this is the first time. So Delhi had been playing at the Wankhede, and now it's going to move there. Max, who do you think is going to win out of those two?
I think for that reason, actually, that it may go to Mumbai just because of the familiarity of the conditions. And obviously... Delhi Capitals will have seen what's happening, but they may not quite have experienced it for themselves.
Yes, it'll be interesting because obviously their batsmen, so we're talking about Shaw and Dhawan and how their combination has been really good so far, but how they adapt to the kind of turning pitches can be really interesting how they do it. But Mumbai Indians lineup is still pace bowler heavy, so it'll be quite interesting to see what that battle ends up looking like. Then we've got the Kings versus Sunrisers. That's going to be an interesting game, isn't it? I think that's a huge game for Sunrisers. If they lose that, then... Surely it's the end of some careers in there if they lose the opening four matches.
Well, this has got Punjab Kings blowing it written all over it, hasn't it? Like, they're playing a team low on confidence. They could eliminate a rival from the playoffs pretty early in the tournament, basically. They've, you know, been a bit of a mixed bag, some positives, some negatives. So I predict that Punjab Kings will be well on top going into the final three or four overs of the match and then somehow lose.
they're gonna do
Bhuvneshwar Kumar's gonna get 50.
Max, what about you?
I'm also gonna go Sunrisers, but I think it's gonna be more comprehensive than that. I think it's gonna be all the frustration that's pent up over the last three games is gonna come out in one fell swoop, and Warner and Bairstow are gonna score about 300.
Wow, there we go. I think there's one other thing. So to mention on the Delhi game, actually, is that you could see the return of Akshar Patel, and so actually him and Ashwin playing at Chennai. I mean, we know what happens there, but fortunately for Mumbai, they have no English players.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll be fine. All right, well, I think that does wrap up the show. Thank you ever so much for all of your comments. Jonathan, Daniel, I agree with you that Ashwin is going to be deadly in Chennai. You've said it six times. I get your point. And I think you should like and subscribe to this video. Share it with your friends. We want to make this as big as possible so we've got more conversations happening in the live chat from you. And obviously leave a comment if you want your questions answered. So thanks ever so much, and follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Cool. And head over to Patreon. Join us. We'll join the stuff. Bye-bye. We will be back Wednesday.
Listening to The Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.